Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for all your blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thank you, Father God, that you brought each and every one of your children here this day for a special purpose, a reason that only you know. I thank you, Father God, that your holy angelic host are walking to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to each and every need. And Father, let your healing's virtue flow here this morning. Let your children be healed from the inside out, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And Father God, let nothing be untouched. And I thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I want everybody to be praying for the president-elect, all right? What's going on right now is unreal. It's unprecedented. And, you know, America could be in a whole lot of trouble. So we can't let down our prayer. We have to keep praying. Amen. There's so much. The enemy is running rampant. And, you know, his demonic little forces loose upon the house of God. And we have to really be in tune to what God is doing and saying at this given time so that we are aware and we're not caught off guard to what he is doing in each one of our lives. God is good all the time. I know that. You know that. And God is on the move, doing exactly what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. Now, even though there's all kind of junk going on in the world, we as the children of God should not be caught up in the junk. You know, it should not be affecting our walk with God, is what I'm saying. We should still be able to stand strong and stand firm, knowing that God has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us, and that whenever all this gross darkness was going to come on the earth, which he promised us years ago, that we would still walk in the light. We would be the light in a dark, dark world. And God is calling each and every one of us to different phases in our life right now, where some of us are being called into new walks, doing new things, different things. And I was thinking about Chris Tomlin yesterday when I was putting the music together. You know, he's been doing this music ever since he's been young. And now what I'm saying is, what I'm getting is, God does everything in perfect order. And then God laid upon his heart to start writing a book. He wrote the book, and now he's laid upon his heart to write another book. And now he gets these gatherings together. He's going to have one Good Friday in Tennessee. And see how God worked in his life. First of all, I had him doing this music in church. Then he had him doing these, you know, like American stuff like that. And then he started, and he's still singing, but, and he's getting older. Now you got to think, he's getting older, okay? And so he's still singing, but now he's spreading out. He's doing the books, and now he's doing more of these here, like the America thing he did, and now he's going to do something on Good Friday. So what I'm saying here is, God is progressively moving him forward in his life as his life progresses. And see, Chris Tomlin has always obeyed God, done exactly what God wanted him to do, so therefore he was always in perfect timing with God. He didn't slough off anything. He just kept moving forward. Now, I don't know if he had somebody pushing him. I really don't care. I just know that he kept moving forward. He did not sit still, so therefore he's right in tune with God. He's in the perfect will of God, and God's always going to take care of him. Just that simple. And so, see, if we would just do the very same thing, just keep following God, just keep doing what God's telling us to do, no matter what's going on around about us, I'm quite sure his life is not perfect. I'm quite sure his life is not without ups and downs. You know, even though you don't hear about it, you know, he has ups and downs, the same as everybody else does. He kept on going with God, and look where God has taken him to. And just like he himself said, he never in his whole life ever dreamt that he'd be doing what he's doing today. And a lot of you sitting in here tonight, this is morning, right? There's things in your life that you're going to look back and say, I never dreamt that God would have me doing this. It's just something you would never even thought of. But because you turn your life over to God and you allow him to have full and total complete control at all times, and you just keep moving forward doing what he's doing, you're right where he wants you to be in a perfect timing. You know, God told me we are this morning, his daughter, you just don't understand how important you are in this move that I'm getting ready to do. And I'm quite sure there's many of you in here do not understand how important you are in this end time move of God. And, you know, he just said, just keep your eyes upon me and just keep moving. And, you know, each one of you, I'm encouraging you, keep your eyes upon God and just keep moving. Don't allow the enemy to pull you back in any way, shape, or form. Don't allow anything that's going on in your life pull you back in any way, shape, or form. The devil's a liar, is he not? Do you really believe that? So then what he's trying to get you to look at is not true, right? I mean, it could be true, but in the spirit realm, it's not true. In the spirit realm, it's already taken care of, all right? We're not going to deny that your husband's a mess. In the natural, he is, but in the spirit realm, God has him already cleaned up, all right? We're not going to deny that our children are, we're not going to say, your child's sitting there doing drugs right in front of you, getting stoned, and you're going to say, he's not doing that. Yes, he is doing that in the natural, but in the spiritual, God has him cleaned up, him or her cleaned up. So we have to keep moving with God, and we cannot become stagnant in any area of our lives. You have to be a person that God can call on in a split second and be able to move in a split second. In other words, drop everything you're doing and just go ahead and do what God's asking you to do. You have to be that kind of a person if you're going to be used by God. All right, now, this morning I'm talking about the fathering spirit. You know, God's awesome. He just constantly, I don't care what I'm doing, he's constantly telling me to do something else, you know. Start setting the wheels in motion. I say, okay, God, let me get this thing over, then I'll do that thing. Yeah. This is how God wants to work with you, though. He wants to be constantly talking to you and telling you what he wants you to do. And, you know, and you think you can't do it, but you can do all things. He just gives you the time and the stability to do it. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now read that again and get that in your spirit. For we are his, you know, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand, before you was born, that we should walk in them. So therefore it's telling us we are his workmanship. We are not the workmanship of the devil. The devil doesn't make anything good. All right? The end time outpouring of God's spirit is going to reveal the awesomeness of the presence of God to this earth. Wherever we go, you guys just don't understand. God's been really, really showing me a lot lately. You don't understand how vitally important you are to this end time thing, that walk with the thing that God is doing. You don't understand how much God is going to work through you. And wherever you go, you're going to carry that anointing that destroys every yoke. We're going to carry the Peter, the Paul anointing. You know, wherever we go, the enemy is going to be destroyed. All right, the end time outpouring of God's Spirit is going to reveal the awesomeness of the presence of God to this earth. In the past, God has revealed himself to the world in the person of the Son and in the person of the Holy Spirit. But in the days to come, he is also going to dramatically reveal himself as the Father. God told me a couple years ago, first of all, it was him. And then he sent his Son, Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. And now it's back to the Father again. See that? Went full circle round. First there was God, then there was Jesus, then there was the Holy Spirit. But now God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will reign over and through the people he has chosen. Not everybody's going to do this, you know, it's those who he has chosen. In order to receive God's provision for the anointing, we must come to understand the fatherhood of the anointing. And I thought about Brother Brett and Sister Nancy. God said he's supposed to be a spiritual father and she's supposed to be a spiritual mother. I don't think they yet grasped the meaning of what that means. All right. The church is being required to know her God in order to receive the anointing to do exploits. If you don't know God, you're not going to be able to, he's not going to be able to use you to do exploits. What is God the Father like? He is a loving heavenly Father. That's why I like that Good, Good Father song. He is a loving heavenly Father whose grace was revealed to all men when he gave us his only Son, Jesus. We can see the nature of God revealed to the world in the person of his Son, Jesus. He is mighty, powerful, and all-sufficient. Jesus said in John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? That verse is really well for the church today. I know that God is saying, Jesus is saying, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? If you really knew God, you wouldn't be doing the things you're doing. Please, if you're trying to get free, don't get under condemnation. All right. But if you, there's some of you aren't trying to get free. You know, some people are not trying to get free, and you don't know the Father. If you knew the Father, you would be sick of your sin. You would be constantly trying to get rid of that sin, and you would be constantly moving forward in God and not keep going backwards. All right? Although Jesus is one with the Father, during his earthly ministry, he continually gave preeminence to the Father by acknowledging his will as supreme. God's will is supreme. John 14:28, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Jesus didn't try to take all the honor. He said the Father was greater than he. And when you talk to some people, you would think they were God. And you know, they're not. God is God. Jesus is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And all three are one is one. I'm hearing, I got to say that too. And all three are one. All right. Here lies the spiritual principle that caused Jesus to walk in a state of continual provision. This is a missing ingredient in the church of today. The principle is known as the fatherhood principle. Believers are going to begin to see the majesty and beauty of Father God restored to the church. They will begin to experience the awesome greatness and radical power that God promises to those who are under his care. You don't understand, I'm saying it again, the power that God is going to pour out upon you as you become familiar with who he is. You just don't understand what he's going to do. Isaiah 40:11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. It's a question. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Another question. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? Another question. With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust in the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. That's God. There's not a one of you sitting in here today that can do all that. None of that. That's God. And he's God the Father. To God, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. God watches over every one of us. He feeds us like a shepherd feeds his flock. God is so great that we have no one with whom to compare him. Comparisons are futile. He is, number one, fairest of 10,000. Number two, the lily of the valley. Number three, the bright morning star. Number four, the King of Kings. Number five, the Lord of Lords. Number six, as beautiful as these words are, none of them express the greatness of our God. He is beyond words. He is an awesome God, and we have the privilege of being under his shadow. If you'll really get to know your Father, if you'll really worship him as a true God, if you'll be obedient to him no matter what he asks you to do, he'll do to you like he did to me. He brought the anointing oil, and he anointed me with it. Now that's awesome that God the Father anointed me. Are you listening? He brought the alabaster box to me and anointed me. You talk about being humble. That'll throw you on your face quicker than anything will. And the point he did that, I was really depressed. I was really down and out. Thought he had left me. But here he came. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. You know, I can shout and I can rejoice and I can be happy because I know my Father. And I know my Father has done things to me that I really don't deserve. But he does it because he loves me. And he loves me because even though I grumble, I'm obedient. Amen. Come on. Come on. Isaiah 40:21. This is our heritage as God's children. When we understand the provision of God our Father, we feel safe and secure. See, that's why you can laugh and dance and sing, because you feel safe and secure. He is the source of all life, the sustainer of all life, the provider of all things, the omnipotent one. He is the strength of our life. Without God, you can do absolutely, positively nothing. Amen. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in a secret place, in a secret place. So we overlook those words, secret place. There's a secret place that you can go into with God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When God's children have a knowledge of the God of the anointing, it becomes a natural thing for them to love and submit to Him. Come on. When God's children have a knowledge of the God of the anointing, it becomes a natural thing for them to love and submit to Him. You know, you guys, you're not going to be able to do anything on your own. It's, if you don't love God, you're not going to have an anointing. If you don't love God, you're not going to be able to go through these terrible times of trials and testing that's coming across the land. I mean, you just barely scrape through these, right? And they're going to get so much worse. And you're going to have to know the God of the anointing in order to get through the dark times that are coming upon us. And we're not supposed to be walking around like the world with their head hung between their knees and, oh, woe is me. We're supposed to be dancing and rejoicing and shouting and just carrying on like a bunch of fools. Because they say, why are you so happy? Look what you're into. I'm into God. I don't care what you see around about me. I am into God. And He is in control. When you can be happy when it's just you and God and nobody else, then you know that you have acknowledged, fully acknowledged that God is God. And He is the only thing that will sustain you. When you quit reaching out for other people to hold on to, then you'll know that you finally surrendered your all in all to God. And that you're going to see get through anything He allows you to go through. Those who dwell in the secret place shall receive His glory. You see that? Those who dwell in a secret place shall receive His glory. Acts 5:14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. They did this just so Peter could walk by them and his shadow could do all that. What does your shadow do? You have to think, what does your shadow do? Let's read that scripture again. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. This is people who really believed in God. It isn't somebody that stepped into the house of God and said, well, let me check this out. These were actually people that God saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit, and they were believers. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. See how much faith the people had in Peter's shadow. And he wasn't glorifying himself. He was glorifying Jesus. But the people had faith in him and the God anointing on him, that they knew if they could just get somebody near him, that his shadow would heal them. So there's nothing wrong with people doing that. Just don't let it go to your head. Amen. Or your shadow won't do nothing. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, these were just people they brought either on the street or in the building, it doesn't say, but they were all healed because Peter was there. Are you understanding this? But Peter abided in the secret place. We all know that Peter denied Christ 3 times. But we also know that he repented. And then he started abiding in the secret place. And God anointed him greatly. If Peter's shadow was that powerful, how much more powerful is the shadow of our Father that looms over us? If Peter's shadow was that powerful, how much more powerful is the shadow of our Father that looms over us? Peter was powerful because he served a mighty God. People followed Peter because he had been with Jesus. Come on. You know, I was praying about something early this morning, and God said, look, I have not changed my mind. What I spoke to you is still in existence. It's still going to happen. So you just quit thinking about it. You just move on. He said, I'll let you know if I change my mind. You know, that's the kind of father that I serve. What kind of father do you serve? Do you serve a father that, you know, I was really typing something else up. And, you know, and he just started talking to me about it. So, you know, what kind of father do you serve? See, he knew what was on my mind. So he would just set my mind at ease, even though I wasn't talking to him about it because I didn't want to get in doubt and unbelief. So he just started speaking about it. Are you listening here? Come on. You know, he gave me the word for the day, and then I went on to get back to my study for tonight. Then he said, get back on your other paper. I'm going to tell you something about yourself now. And then he started talking, I said, wait a minute, I got to get my paper off. You know, he started talking really fast and tell me what he's going to do with me. But see, that's the kind of God we serve. I wasn't sitting there praying, oh, God, speak to me. Oh, God, what are you going to do with me? No, I was really trying to get the night service together. He didn't care what I was doing. He wanted to talk to me. He wanted to encourage me. He wanted to lift me up. I went down, but, you know, he just wanted to let me know. And that, and, you know, what kind of, are you in a secret place? So I'm laying on bed, you know, I got this cancer in my face, and I said, all right, God, if you're going to do all that stuff, then do something with this. I've cursed, I've rebuked, I've bled the blood, I've done everything. Now you've got to move and heal me first. Amen? And then let that be a witness for the world to see. Come on, what do you do? Say, oh, woe is me. No, you're not woe is me. You serve an anointed God, and he's going to do what he wants to do in you, through you, and around you anytime he wants to, as long as you give him permission, as long as you're in this secret place. All right, we are serving this mighty God of Peter. Is that where I'm at? Oh, they wanted what Peter had. They desired to receive his touch. They were awed by his presence. This is what God wants to do for us. In this coming dispensation, people are going to want what you have. They're going to see that you've been in the presence of God. They're going to see the anointing of God on you. They're going to see God working signs, wonders, and miracles through you. And they're going to want what you have. The world does not want what the church has right now, because the church doesn't have anything. The church doesn't. I didn't say all of the church. But the church as a whole does not have anything to offer the world. They want to see, all right, Aaron, as you go into wherever you work or for God, as you walk through the door, the anointing of God walks with you and the whole atmosphere changes. Come on. You know, and they're going to want what you have. Remember when I worked at the college, people would come and say, can I just sit in the chair by your desk? The anointing was so strong that they would sit in that chair and we wouldn't say a word because I had my work to do. And they'd get up and they were, whatever was wrong with them, God lifted off of them. The anointing destroyed the yokes. Come on. And it's here again. God's going to do it again. Are you going to be part of it? It's totally up. Each one of you have a different walk. God has called each one of you to do a different thing. You know, Sister Grace is head of the flagging. All right, Sister Grace, as you're flagging, is the anointing of God on you? Have you been in the secret place? Did you walk around with your flag? You know, is the anointing coming off you onto the flags and onto the people in the atmosphere? If you're all disgruntled, what do you think's going into the atmosphere? As you're waving your flag, the disgruntled anointing's coming off you onto your flag and into the atmosphere and falling onto people. That's the way it works. Come on. We are serving this mighty God of Peter. We are under the shadow of an awesome God. Isaiah 51:12. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? And of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand. Why? That I may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. You know, God has done that for you. But I am the Lord your God who divided the sea, whose waves roared, and the Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. God is trying to put his words in our mouth. You know, I think one of the prophetic words for the day is, maybe it was my own, but anyhow, you know, I think it was the word of the day. God said that nobody will know when you start or when you end, because you'd be so much God that they won't know if it's you speaking or God speaking. All right? Are you there yet? Are you to the place where you don't know if it's you speaking or God speaking, because you just open your mouth and out comes all this stuff, and you're thinking one thing and out of your mouth is coming something else. It's God speaking. You start talking to somebody and all of a sudden he just says something else. And you yourself, you won't know when it's going to be God speaking or you speaking, and people will think it's God all the time. Amen? Because it'd be so much God in you and around you. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I lived a life of persecution and suffering, because that proves to me that I am a child of God. That proves to me that God is not finished with me yet. That proves to me that I'm made of some good stuff, and that God knew that I could carry the weight of persecution and suffering, and so he just let me do it. It's made me know that I have a Father who loves me very dearly. Like my earthly father, you said, when he get ready to spank me with that dumb belt, this hurts me more than it does you. And I know that that's what happens to God too. I don't want to do this to you, but I have to do this to you so I can press you as fine gold. You know, so that you can come out and you on the other side as fine gold, and I can use you for my glory. Amen. But when we go into a trial and tribulation, all we do is fuss, isn't it? I don't know where I'm at. Oh, okay. As we, the church, begin to acknowledge the awesomeness of our God, you have to acknowledge that, fear of failure and of death will not stop us from inheriting our promised land. Past failures will not stop us. Yesterday, little Gabriel said to me, Mom, okay, so I love God and God loves me. So if somebody comes up to me and says, you have to deny Christ or I'm going to shoot you, he said, what I should do is be shot, right? I said, yes, honey, you should. He said, then I'm ready to die for Christ, because I'm not going to give up Christ for nothing. But it's taken me a while to get that into his little spirit. I had to keep talking to him about the love of God. You know, I had to keep instructing him. You guys, you have to do the same thing with your children. You have to tell them all about God and how he has to be number one in their lives. And he can't love. He said, but I want to love you more than do God. No, you can't do it. God comes first. And he finally has it in his spirit, even though he doesn't like it. Because he said, I love you a lot. He said, I said, I know that, but God comes first. And now he's ready to die for him. Come on, guys. God will trust his anointing. God will trust his anointing only to those who have submitted to his divine authority. Without submission to God's authority, the church will not receive the fullness of his provision. In order to have the anointing, we must submit to the anointed one and to his delegated authorities in the church. In order to have the anointing, we must submit to the anointed one and to his delegated authorities in the church. 2 Kings chapter 2. See, all you men in here, you're supposed to be the priest in your household. You need to be submitted to the anointed one. And as you submit yourself to God, your family is going to come under subjection to God. Not to you, but to God. And your families are going to start straightening up. But too many men are not the head of their household. In other words, they're not the priest, because they're steeped in sin. And so therefore, they can't lead anybody anywhere because they have not got their self right yet. Please, no condemnation. But God is looking for men who will become priests in their household. Not submit to me, submit to me. That's a bunch of junk. He's looking for men who will be so full of God, they'll be so full of love. You won't have to, like God told me, if people would love God the way they ought, the word submit would never enter anybody's mouth. Because when you're full of the love of God, you aren't wanting to control other people. You're wanting to do for them. You're wanting to love them. You're not wanting them to look up to you as number one. You're wanting them to look up to God as number one. All right? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. He went about to leave that anointing. See that? Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you, from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. He said, don't tell me he's going to die. I already know it, but I don't want to hear it. Elijah the prophet was greatly anointed. His servant Elijah was sure that if he stuck with it long enough, he would get the prophet's mantle. If he stuck with it long enough. You know, people come in here and say, the anointing is so strong here, but I'm going to go back to my dead church. You know, they'd rather have the dead church than the anointing. I don't care where you go. But, you know, this is just the way it goes. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, Elijah, stay here, please. For the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. He wasn't going to go nowhere. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. See, I read that one twice. I'm sorry. But see, he was not going to, he didn't care what he said to him. He was going to stay with the anointing. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Elijah would not leave the anointing. And you need to not leave the anointing of God either. I don't care what the enemy's trying to talk you into. Say, I'm talking about the anointing of God, not anything else. I'm staying with the anointing of God, devil. I'm not serving you. I'm not even going to give you 1 ounce of my time. 2 Kings 2:9. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elijah, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Finally, Elijah said, okay, I can't get rid of you, so what do you want? See this? And, you know, God's going to say the same thing to you when you cling to God. He said, all right, what is it that you want from me? See what I'm getting at here? Just like Elijah, a leader pours his life into his proteges, and there occurs a transferring of spirit. You have to watch who you're sitting under, because you're going to get their spirit. 2 Timothy 2:1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see this? Whatever you have, commit to others, and they'll be able to teach others also. Some of you have the devil. You know, some in the body of Christ said, I won't say y'all because y'all think it's talking about you. In the body of Christ, some people have the devil, and that's what they give other people, is more of the devil. But what we're supposed to give people is the anointing of God. We have to understand that we are producing leaders and not clones. We are producing leaders and not... Y'all know my story. When I was going through some really hard time a couple years ago, I wouldn't even get up and preach. I would come to church and just sit, and I'd have other people preach because I wasn't fit to preach. I was hurting too bad, and I didn't want that hurt to go onto the people. Amen. I wasn't really worried about losing my standing with God or losing my standing with people. If I lost, I didn't even think about it, to tell you the truth. I just knew that I was not going to spread that poison onto other people. Are you listening here? Was God happy with me doing it? No, he was not. He said, I want you to get up here and preach. I said, no, I will not get up here and preach when I'm not right. I argued with God and I just did it. I'm not going to say I won because I just did. I didn't want to do that. God is seeking faithful men and women for Elijah and Elijah's. He wants both leaders and followers. He is searching for men and women to give and to carry the mantle. Are you guys listening here? In the past, there has been too much control and manipulation. Today, God is looking for true spiritual fathers. The fathering spirit is on the rise. God, I'm going back. God is seeking faithful men and women for Elijahs and Elijahs. He wants both leaders and followers. He is searching for men and women to give and to carry the mantle. I wish to God that there was enough men in the house of God that I could say are carrying the God anointing, but I can't say that. Because what's going to happen? What is already happening to the men that are in the house of God? What's going to happen to all these men that are coming into the house of God? What kind of mantle are they, what kind of anointing are they going to be receiving? Come on. Why do you think God has said, now I've left the church, I'm going into the highways and byways, and I'm going to clean up the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the alcoholics, and I'm going to use them? It's because the church, the people have been sitting in the church for so many years, refused to change. And God needs somebody with a God anointing to lead the people. You women that won't get your lives together, there's multitudes of young women out there that are prostitutes. All that God's looking for is a woman who will straighten up and walk holy and give her mothering anointing so that she can go and minister to those girls that are lost and dying. But your sin is more important than a soul. So you won't give up that sin until God can anoint you. You can't walk under the God anointing. The Pauls are desiring to train the Timothys. Remember, the anointing is both caught and taught. The Pauls are desiring to train the Timothys. Remember, the anointing is both caught and taught. Because of the close relationship between the leader and his protege, many things will be caught, but they must also be taught. You teach a lot of people just by your actions. The Holy Spirit is the master teacher who reveals his glorious mysteries to the church, but he uses people to get his job done. You have to come to grips with that. He needs a vessel that he can work through. Satan needs a vessel he can work through. God does too. That was God's plan first, and Satan just imitated it, all right? Numbers 11:16. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle meeting that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. Now God didn't say, I'm going to take all your anointing, Moses. I'm just going to take some of your anointing and place it on the other people so they can help you minister to these people. There was too many people for Moses to minister to. This is what God is trying to do right now in this dispensation. He's trying to get people to get yourself together so he can have, all right, so I have an anointing from God. He's trying to get you, some of you people, or all you people in here, to the place where he can take some of my anointing and place it upon you. It's just that simple. Amen. No, I'm not exalting myself. I'm just using myself. I know I have an anointing, and I'm not going to deny it any longer. I know there's an anointing there. And I know God wants to transfer that anointing to other people. You know, even as you speak, your anointing goes out over the people. But you know, you do such dumb things. You have sin in your mouth, and then you speak, and that sin goes out over the people. You have to be totally, completely, absolutely, totally, completely submitted to God. You have to be in that secret place with God continually so that he can keep that anointing going through you. Come on. God will teach us concerning the anointing, but we must also be ready to catch it. God is calling all of us, to catch the spirit that is in our pastors and elders. You know, when I came on the scene, God said, I don't want anybody to teach you anything. I don't want you going away to school because somebody's going to pay my way to college, to Bible school. He said, I want you to just be you, and my Holy Spirit will teach you of all things. I don't want no man, no woman to teach you. Why was that? Because he raised me up to be a leader, to lead others, to teach others to be leaders. That's just my calling. What is your calling? year or so ago, he told Sister Nancy and I both that he was taking some of my anointing and giving it to Sister Nancy. Now, and I had to explain to her, you're going to have to follow me. You're going to have to become like I am. You can't become who you are. Stay who you are. You have to change in order to carry that anointing. Are you understanding here? You have to change in order to carry an anointing. You cannot be the same. The precious anointing comes through God's delegated authority in this earth. We can drink of the Spirit that rests upon our leaders. That's why you need to have a leader that's anointed. You can drink from that. Apostles, prophets, rise up and govern the people. God, this is God saying, apostles, prophets, rise up and govern the people. Trainees and proteges, learn to serve. There's too many trainees and proteges that are wanting to be the leader. And they have not said under anything except their own knowledge. You have to be trained. You have to learn to submit yourself to God. Stay in that secret place until the God anointing hits you. You need to understand that when you are faithful, you will receive the double portion of the costly anointing. When you are faithful, you will receive the double portion of the costly anointing. Faithful to God, not to man, but faithful to God. Staying in his presence, staying in that secret place. I look around and I see women so caught up in their husbands that, oh my God, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose him. Well, you're going to lose him anyhow. Get devastated if his eyeballs cross over looking at another woman. If he's lustful, let him die and go to hell. You need to, I'm sorry, but you need to keep your anointing. You need to stay in the presence of God. See, I learned this years ago so I can preach it now because I've been through it. You know, I'm sorry. If he's going to leave you, he's going to leave you. I don't care what you do. Anyhow, if he's lustful and gawking around another woman, then he's already left you. So you just need to start worrying about where you're going with your walk with God. Each one of us have to walk out our own salvation. Each one of us have to work out our own anointing. You know, God wants husbands and wives to be so as one that we'd know each other's thoughts and have, you know, so we could be greatly anointed. But that, I don't see that in the house of God. I do not see strong marriages. The men always mess up. Sorry, men, but that's the way it's been, the ones I've seen. You have not yet learned to take your men. You have not yet learned to take your eyes off the world. And if you're not coming to the Conqueror series, then see, you don't really want to change. Because that Conqueror series, isn't it Ethan giving you a lot of information? That thing will change you. Women too. Women, there's more women doing pornography than men. If you really want to change, and you'll go to these things that God has us put on. I didn't say you had to join the church. Just come to the things that we put on. Because they're all God ordained. And I watched so many women dying spiritually because they're hanging on to a husband that doesn't want to straighten up. I see it all the time. I watch it. I went there for a season and I said, no way, buddy. You can go to hell if you want, but I'm going to serve my God. I have spent my life trying to be somebody that I don't even know who I am. And you're still out there whoring around. Well, you keep right on whoring because I'm going to go after God. And that's what I did. Come on. But men, you know that ever since I've had this church, that I've always wanted the men to rise up and be the men of God that God has called you forth to be. To get your eyes on God. If the computer's messing you up, turn it off. Keep it off and get your eyes on God. Don't turn your computer on and say, I'm going to read the scriptures. Yeah, well, you're going to read the scriptures, but all this little nagging things. I say, but if you just switch one little switch, you can watch pornography. And it works that way all the time. I know because God said so. You guys wouldn't admit to that, some of you, but that's what God told me happens. You know, you have good intentions, but the enemy has other intentions. So, it's up to you. Do you want the fathering spirit? Do you want the anointing of God, not any man or woman's anointing, but the anointing of God to rest on you so strong that it'll break every stronghold of hell that's over you? Are you really committed 100% to being a leader in your household, a spiritual leader in your household? Aren't you sick and tired of watching your family suffer because you've messed up? Aren't you sick and tired of that? Just because you have some demon that has you by the nose leading you around, I'm a man. Oh, get out of here. No, you're letting the devil run your life. You get upset if your wife tells you what to do, but you'll follow that devil. You'll get down your hands and knees and lick his feet. Come on. This is all God. This is not me. This is God. You men need to rise up this morning and say, I'm done with that old lifestyle. I'm going to become the spiritual head. Now, don't go home and try to control her, baby, because that's not a spiritual father. That is not. You go home and get yourself together. You go home and you get in a secret place. You go home and you cry out to God. You go home and you pray for your family. I'm hearing God say your dastardly deeds are going to lead you right into the throes of hell if you don't change and change quickly. Now, where are you at? I don't want you all know where you're at. Be honest with yourself. And if you're working to get yourself cleaned up, then that's wonderful. That's fine. Then you know, this message is for you, but yet it's not for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, God is in control. God knows exactly what you're doing, and he knows whether you're sincere with what you're doing. And so you can't fool God. You can fool me, you think. You'd be surprised what God says when I'm home, what he's telling me about you guys. Amen? Come on. And sometimes he's not happy with you either. So let's just get it together this morning. We can do that, you know. We can get it together and say, Father, I want that fathering spirit. I want the anointing of God that we're talking about here this morning. I want it to fall on me so strong, Father God, that I will be changed in an instant. I want all the men to come to the altar right now. All the men that want the fathering spirit, I should say that. This is what God is calling. Men, your wives would love for you to serve God. They really would. If you would serve God, they'd probably lick your boots. Come on, just lift your hands to God. And just let that anointing just fall on you right now. The most beautiful thing that could ever happen is we have a revival of men becoming spiritual fathers. I might die and go to heaven from the shock. That's been my heart's cry. God, please raise up the men in the house of God. Come on, raise your hands in total surrender to the Father. Give him your mind, your will, and your emotions. God has that precious anointing he wants to drop on you this morning. You remove that grace, you're going to have his head in the basket. Come on, let go of your dead works. Receive life this morning. You want to know why you don't have your fortune? God promised you, men, because you won't let go of the world. And God's not going to give you those riches that he promised you as long as you're holding on to the world. You're just not going to. But Nancy, will you please anoint this young man here, and then go and anoint that young man over there? Since God's caught about that, we'll use that oil. And may you women are sitting back there praying for these men that they'll really be changed. That they'll really have a life-changing experience when they're down on that floor. Or you're sitting there saying, well, I don't think they'll ever change. They won't. But I'm believing they will change starting today. I believe that God is doing a new thing. I'm going to ask you men who are still standing, is the world worth it? Is the world really worth it to end up in hell, utterly tormented?